Hi, Diamonds. Welcome to the United States of Women, a forum where professional women come together to thrive by living more connected to our power, our purpose, and our plan. We invite you to tune in every other week where we show you that you can have it all and teach you how to get it by becoming the star of your own life and not just a supporting role in your life, career, and relationships. Here with Julie Dean, my USW podcast ambassador and co-host, I am Kalina James, owner of LCR, a business consulting and leadership development coaching company. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Hey, Diamonds. I've invited Stacey Sanderson to the show today. She is the owner of Inquire Within, and today we're going to be talking about all things psychotherapy. Welcome to the show, Stacey.
Thank you. Thank you. It's lovely to meet you and to be here together today.
Absolutely. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I live in Southern Ontario, Canada, and I had a lengthy career in primary care medicine and in acute care medicine as a medical social worker and therapist, and then pivoted into psychotherapy, leadership, teaching, facilitating, with focus on understanding patterns of power, looking at the impact of toxic behavior on our health, and now working with people around developing powerful boundaries and, you know, moving into the best version of themselves.
That's wonderful.
I have a practice. I have a bricks and mortar practice and then a virtual practice as well.
Yeah. So what kind of got you interested in taking to this industry?
Oh, gee, I think it really was the calling. You know, I was thinking about that a bit earlier, about how every step of the way, you know, it really was something far bigger than me guiding that process. So not to sound grandiose, but I started this out in the early 2000s, researching chronic illness. And because I was working in medicine and discovered all these patterns people had in their relationships, in their history, in ways that they gave their power away, in ways that they had weak boundary strength. And that led to doing some postgraduate research and study. And my master's focus was on both the biopsychosocial aspects of illness and personality pathology. And so during COVID, like so many people, I organized all of that research. You know, like my office was just filled with all of this stuff I had put together, and then turned that into, you know, the platform for the work I am doing, which is really guiding, leading, and facilitating people to change some of these patterns and really step into what they were meant to do here on the planet. Right. So the tagline is, you know, I work with empaths and sensitive people and women who are kind of hiding their light under a bushel, as we love to say, so that they can do what they've come here to do because the planet needs them. So that's a little bit of my elevator speech, if you will. But I just love the idea of bringing together people and connecting with people around this particular message.
That's very inspiring. And I know that's one of the reasons I was excited to have you on the show today, because, you know, we have a very surfer's attitude around here. And, you know, it's the same thing. We can do so much more together. And if we can help people, you know, find their light, as you were saying, you know, this time on our planet is so limited. And I think it's so great when we can see women just thriving.
Absolutely. And there are so many women who have these amazing gifts and spiritual gifts, and they doubt themselves, and men too. I've got a handful of men who work with me, and to also to connect with and find one another as well is really key and vital. And we are just, you know, standing on the precipice, or we're in the precipice, I suppose, of all of the ways of doing that, right? So part of my big vision and mission is to be more empowered and less victim oriented. There's a ton of stuff out there in the internet world and on YouTube, which is where I hang out a lot, that really reinforces themes of disempowerment. And so my goal is to have a much more holistic way of understanding some of the patterns we've learned and then continue to repeat, you know, in our adult relationships and even in our workplaces, right? That's been a huge area of interest for me as well. So people who've experienced, you know, workplace bullying, who've been targets, you know, who essentially have experienced trauma to a certain extent in the workplace, that's another area that I work within.
What were some of the things that you were seeing come up consistently with your patients early on in your practice?
Well, the most compelling one would be chronic autoimmune illness. And that's true still today. I think probably a solid 95% of my clients struggle with some type of what 20 years ago would have been a bit more mysterious, but things like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, multiple sclerosis, type 2 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, the thyroid disorders, and I also have a thyroid issue. That is one. And then the second one would be that these are also really beautiful souls who struggle with confidence, self-esteem, self-worth, believing in themselves, and also finding and connecting with like-minded people. And these are also, another common trend would be, these are folks who are targeted, right? They were perhaps, you know, a target when they were children, or heaven forbid, they were some type of target within their own family system. And then they go on to repeat these patterns in their adult relationships or in workplaces or even in, you know, church communities, volunteer sectors. And that really is also part of my own journey around doing this work. And it's interesting because, you know, people would come to see me under the label or the guise of depression or anxiety. But when you peeled back what was really going on, what emerged from those conversations was that they had great disruption and some trauma in their relationships and in the way that people were relating to them. And that, you know, that was something that I learned working in a primary care medical setting, right? Like where you're just, that's community mental health. And, but it eventually formed, you know, the inspiration and the reason for the work I'm doing now, which is much more specific around helping those same people learn how to protect their energy. I'm doing a talk later today about how to take care of and protect your energy and learning about how to create boundaries that feel good and that align with people's values. Sorry, that was a really meandering answer.
No, I love that. That was a great answer and is very helpful because I think, you know, your case in point, you know, you might be seeking out psychotherapy as an option for your depression. And through that, you might discover that that's maybe not the primary reason you're feeling the way you feel.
Yes. Yes. Good catch on that. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, part of my messaging is, you know, when I trained a long time ago, we didn't use the words depression and anxiety quite as much as we do now because, you know, so much of our normal human emotion has become pathologized and medicalized even when indeed, you know, if you are in a state of depression or if you are experiencing anxiety, you know, those can be messages that there is something in your life that is out of whack. Right? That, you know, you in some way are not living in a soul aligned way of being. And so that's, you know, so a lot of people who come to see me have hit walls, you know, with focusing solely on their depression, or solely on their anxiety. And we then take that deeper dive into, okay, what was going on and what are you repeating, you know, that is manifesting as depression or anxiety.
That's really interesting, because I think about, you know, how we as a culture have looked at mental health and how that has shifted over the course of the years. And, you know, you had brought up even the pandemic, and I know statistically they say we as a culture are lonelier now than we've ever been. And what have you seen in your practice with people coming to seek out those services that they don't realize are their own roadblocks?
This is so interesting. In this, I think in early fall, I did a YouTube talk on loneliness. And it had, I think, 1,000 hits in 10 minutes, something like that. The analytics on that post were just incredible to behold. And it got so much engagement so quickly, which tells you that people are Googling loneliness, right? It's interesting that that particular post, you know, for I don't really understand how all of that works, but it was obviously something that Google picked up. And it was a place where people very much engaged. And I think that, you know, loneliness is, among other things, you know, probably the concurrent, you know, epidemic or pandemic. Although many of us who work in psychotherapy saw referrals for depression go down over the pandemic, because I think people felt like they were all in it together, or we all felt like we were all in it together. But most definitely, loneliness is an issue. And it, you know, which is why there is such a richness, you know, if you offer, if any of us offer some type of opportunity where people can also come together and not be in solely an individual focus in their therapy, which doesn't mitigate loneliness at all. It just, you know, validates their experience, or, you know, it's a way that people can build some confidence to get out there and meet people and build relationships.
Hey, this is your girl, Kalina James, and I want to chat with you for just one moment. Are you a coach, consultant, content creator, trainer, counselor, mentor? Well, maybe you wear all of the service hats at the same time. Maybe you're all of them. And I want to let you know about an awesome new tool for your growing business. It's called LifeQuest. Live your forever quest, with brandable features that make it possible to run multiple businesses and sell paid resources under one umbrella. LifeQuest is the newest mobile CRM platform for your growing business. Now, LifeQuest is helping dynamic professionals just like you save time and money while managing your business. The support team would love to show you what LifeQuest can do for you. Click the link in the show notes to get started. And at LifeQuest, we're not just one more thing, we're the thing. Now back to your show.
I love that. I recently finished the book, The Measure. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay. It's a novel about a string. Everyone receives the string and it's in a box. So you can make the decision if you want to open the box or not. And based on the length of your string, it determines how much life you have left.
Oh, wow.
It's a really thought-provoking book. I highly recommend it. But it was interesting because as people discovered they had short strings or long strings, you had different communities building to support one another. So, you know, maybe you were a short stringer of 10 years less or less. So you would go and find a community of people that maybe potentially have the short string too, to go and date or lean on, and the rules around, you know, what each string and the stigma that came with each string carried.
Amazing. It would mean people completely reevaluating the meaning of their life.
It really did. I mean, even, you know, seeing how the government would handle it, you know, there's two characters that are men in the military, and one has a short string and one has a long string. And the military makes the decision to abandon all the short stringers from, you know, letting them stay in the military.
Wow.
You would enjoy it.
Okay. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to add it to the stack.
But yeah, anyway, you were saying this community, and you know, that I think it really, in that book especially, you know, gave people like a sense of belonging because they were feeling so alone. Nobody, everybody's handling this string, the impact of the string so differently.
Which is interesting because, I mean, there are so many studies now around how belonging and community and connection add to our longevity,
It
right?
makes sense because they, there's so much to, isolating and being by yourself and closed off and the negative effects of that. It would only make sense that, putting yourself out there is going to add to more fulfillment.
Absolutely. And we're wired as human beings for a connection. It is wired into our very survival, into our central nervous system. Even folks who would say that they're shy, right, or they're introverted, they also need to have, all of us need to have, that sense of belonging and connection, which I think has been in a lot of ways redesigned, if you will, or it has shifted over the pandemic. I mean, I think that in the first 3 to 6 months of the pandemic, the most common thing I was seeing in my practice was family conflict and estrangement. So, the pandemic really shook up, a lot of family systems and work systems. And I think, I'm still seeing that this year. I have been doing a little bit more trauma work around what folks experienced in the pandemic. But we have, I think, as a society, a lot of work to do to heal and repair some of that which got ripped up a little bit during the time when we were in isolation.
I love that you bring that up because, as you're talking through this stuff, I'm thinking about, someone who might think that they don't need therapy. And I'm kind of curious, have you ever run into a person who's never gone through any kind of trauma in their life?
Yeah, they're like unicorns. Yes, but it's pretty rare. And some of the people who do a lot of teaching and writing and research on trauma, like Bessel van der Kolk, for example, who wrote The Body Keeps the Score, would say that everyone encounters some type of trauma. I would say it's just on a continuum. And interestingly, the definition of trauma is shifting and changing. And I just wrote a book, and there's a chapter in the book on, what trauma looks like today versus what it would have looked like 20 or 30 years ago and how we define it. But, generations younger than myself might define something as traumatic that, say, my parents' generation would not see as being a trauma. So, but I have definitely, just racking my brain, I have definitely met people who have not had, major life losses or disruption, and maybe not in the practice, but in other ways. But ultimately, we're all going to experience transition. We're all going to experience loss. And I would be inclined to say that the COVID pandemic represented a collective trauma. So if you were lucky up until that particular point, it would have influenced you. So, but it's rare. It's part of the human experience, and the differences in, whatever your protective factors are or your own built-in resiliences, and of course, attachment and connection and belonging mitigates the effects of trauma quite considerably.
And that's a great point, the pandemic in reference just, how many people did come out of the pandemic and didn't feel affected at all, whereas other people may have felt significantly affected and, it didn't mean that the pandemic was, worse or better for other people. It just was how they experienced it.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the most difficult thing for me was just not being able to help in the way that I was so used to helping, right? Not just having the work shift that considerably was really, really challenging. And I taught through the pandemic, so the practice shifted and got quiet, and I pivoted into teaching counseling online, which was incredibly stressful, but we did it. We figured it out. But Trauma, although I think it can have such a negative connotation, can also represent, a time where you also heal from whatever it was and build back stronger. That's a really critical part of the work that I do is, okay, so you've had, these painful betrayals and relationships and experiences, but what do you learn from that, and how do you heal that, integrate it, which is trauma language, which means making meaning out of the experience, and so that you come back stronger and more self-aware.
That's great. That's really great. I would love if you had any advice or tips for our listeners that might be looking to just begin to, discover what might be in their subconscious that they're ignoring.
Oh, what a great question. There's two parts to that. One is we sometimes hear those subtle little taps on the shoulder, and until it becomes a brick that falls on our head. And then some things, we're completely unconscious about, right? And these patterns are things that we've learned even pre-verbally. But I think so many of us, are aware of where we have room to grow and develop and are just afraid to do it, right? And then the second piece is I think that, a well-examined life is a life well lived, and it is such a rich experience to have someone in your life who's a compassionate witness, right? Who really sees you and hears you. And that can be, such a corrective experience that can help people to make big shifts. And so if you heal, a depression and you feel better, then you go on to have a longer life. If you come in and do some work on some of your early attachment patterns, you can have richer relationships, right? I'm not really good at explaining this in that way all the time, but it's, those are the out beautiful outcomes that can come from going in and doing some work.
That's wonderful. This has been such a great conversation. I'm so glad you were able to take some time with us today. Where can our listeners, get access to you, get access to your book, learn more about your resources and your business?
Sure. So I have a YouTube channel, Stacey Sanderson at Inquire Within. A website. I have a Facebook community also called Stacey Sanderson at Inquire Within. I think I've listed all of it. If people are interested in, hearing about events going on, workshops, that kind of thing, they can subscribe to that on the website. And probably the easiest thing to do is to head to YouTube when all the links are there, and you can hear me go off on. On my regular rants about things, if you will. But yeah, easy to find, and love, love, love to connect with people.
Thank you for being on the show today, Stacey.
It was absolutely my pleasure.
Until
Thank you for
next
having
time.
me.
Until next time, diamonds, shine bright.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, share it. Share it with people you care about, people you think this will benefit. Share with your team or colleague who is having a difficult time and is looking for solutions. We all want to help people live empowered, to know what to do when faced with uncertainty. And I believe that these ideas can help others have that success. So please share it. But also follow us on our hashtag community Power Purpose Plan and tell us what you think and how this episode has helped you. Diamonds, you have a choice to live connected to progress and growth. You deserve it, and it is yours to have. Live life, my friend, and be encouraged to step into your power purpose plan today. Until next time, take care.